basically, for that song, which is called Ringing, I recorded a phone's dial tone and repeated it in multiple ways. I adjusted its tone, so that's what gives it its musical effect, musical in meaning that it goes on different notes. And I added a drum beat to it and other cool stuff like that.
Eric Joshua Berg's response!
I thought it was really interesting in that, like, it's taking a different style of instrument with quotation marks, to be the center focus. And I like how that's often how you do it, like innovative styles of making music, like it's never the same thing when we hear your music. And I just wanted to hear more, I think, like in the middle, like it, I felt like it stopped too soon. Like I wanted to hear, you know, how you had that little solo. I wanted to hear more solos like that. I wanted to hear you do some more interesting stuff with it. I think you could have taken this song farther, but I think just making it in the first place is a really interesting step, and it's really awesome.
After many long years in the studio, Eric and Joel have composed a song
named the Sydney Girl Blues.
Something I wrote about something I love doing.
Photography and its assorted joys.
Beauty. There's a lot of it that our meager eyes don't notice. You can find it anywhere. It's not hard at all. From a normal kitchen to a leisurely stroll through the seemingly ugly Winnipeg West End, it just takes a little slowing down. Photography is a great method for finding beauty. Looking through the lens of a little mechanical device somehow opens up your eyes up to everything. It's like sensory overload. Photography requires that I lose control. We all like the idea of being in control. It gives us a sense of security, and that makes sense. When you have everything locked up with no surprises in sight, things seem easy. Photography shatters that idea of trying to control the world. You're observing everything you forget in the normal day-to-day, submitting yourself not to your own plans, but to the abundant beauty everywhere. Sure, you're in control of what you capture, but the scenery is already laid out for you. Photography helps me to realize how much I get caught up in myself, caring too much about my image, living in fear, judging people, and things like that, because photography is about seeing things as they are. When I'm not taking pictures, I sometimes carry a bit of the photographic mindset over to regular life. I find myself mentally taking pictures, seeing how a perfectly normal crack in the sidewalk could be transformed into a very meaningful portrait of something or other. Photography is very expressive in the way of filtering my opinions, views, and souls into a picture. It's really a wild idea, displaying bits of myself as a picture that I randomly take. It's a great universal concept in a way, showing how everything is connected and how I can see myself in anything if I try. It can be a very non-pleasant concept as well, since the possibility of seeing yourself in everything means even the things you most despise. Taking pictures is a great way for sharing myself with others, since it's great fun for others and I enjoy it as well. I found something interesting about fame through my pictures. When people look at my photos, I sometimes get a buzz off their compliments. It's better if I smile and remember that the best thing was the actual picture taking. From the moment I start taking pictures to the feedback I get, the process is very open and something that I'm not in control of. I don't want to take the pictures for the buzz of the comments, since that would be trying to control the process, which takes the joy out of it. In geography class, we were assigned a project that was to be done on the region of Canada. The initial reaction was, ugh. It proved to be quite boring for the most part, but the only parts that were somewhat interesting were the parts in which I applied myself. For the presentation, our group randomly did a play about the prairies. Some people were grass, rivers, farmers, and other odd things. Later on, that was about the only thing that people remembered from the whole spiel of presentation. It's like photography and how you have to be creative to be interesting, working with what's around you until it's not just scenery or redundant information. The summary is about this sublime topic. Photography is very meaningful to me, requires me to stop writing, and is very enjoyable to say the least. Thanks for hearing me out.
For our musical spotlight this week, we'll be talking about Neil Young. Here's a song by him.
That was the song The Needle and the Damage Done by Neil Young.
Neil Young on his Harvest album.
Mm-hmm.
So, Joel, when did you get into Neil Young?
Well, my friend Miles, he bought a Neil Young Greatest Hits album, and I listened to it a lot, and it was really good. And so, yeah.
Cool.
How about you?
We got, like, our CD takes, I mean, our car takes CDs, so we always have a CD in there. And once, my mom brought in Neil Young, and I listened to Neil Young, and I liked it enough to listen to some more. And I heard Heart of Gold on a Wednesday night class, and, so I was kind of, like, intrigued to hear a little more, but it kind of, sometimes it kind of, like, drifted from my head until I got an iPod, and then you put a bunch of, CDs on my iPod, and I listened to, like, After the Gold Rush and stuff, and I really liked that.
Yeah. Cool. What? Neil Young is pretty big.
Yeah. The movie just came out.
Heart of Gold.
Heart of Gold.
It's very good.
What's interesting about him is, like, I read this article about him, and it was talking about how, like, he always, like, sometimes he's rock, and sometimes he's, like, folk, and sometimes...
Just like Johnny Cash.
Yeah, just like Johnny Cash.
Except he experimented a lot.
Yeah, like, he and Kurt Cobain started the grunge movement, which is really weird. And I was just, like, surprised to hear how much different stuff he had accomplished. And, like, as much as, like, not all of his stuff will be amazing, like, you still gotta respect him because he, like, went out and tried everything.
Yeah. He's pretty famous for just, like, having a very long musical career, like 40 years, and he's just experimented a lot.
Yeah, like, in the article I read, they talked about how Neil Young, nobody thought he would be able to sing, because his, like, singing voice is, like, a lot of people don't like it, or they think it's weird or something.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, he was an amazing guitarist, right? So somebody would say to him, you know, you're a great singer, but, I mean, you're a great guitarist, but you're not such a good singer. But Neil Young, he just kept trying, right? And, like, he was in a band, and, like, he just ditched all his band members because he knew that none of them were driven enough to actually get where he wanted to get.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. Because, like, I don't know. He had a very interesting story.
Yeah. And it's weird because he's, like, one of the music's biggest people, and he came from Winnipeg, which is where we live.
Yeah.
So that's pretty weird and neat.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he lived in a lot of places. Like, he lived in Toronto, then came to Winnipeg, and he went to Kelvin High School.
And he dropped out, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, there was... Have you heard, like, any stories? Like, people in Winnipeg have, like... A lot of people in Winnipeg seem to have had encounters with him.
Really? I haven't, like, heard any... What kind of stories have you heard?
Like, my friend Miles' mom or dad, I forgot. When they were younger, their babysitter was going out with Neil Young.
Oh.
And there's also the story of, like, a newspaper carrier or something. Oh, no, the milkman. Neil Young's milkman.
Yeah.
Or family milkman would come to the door. Would come to the door and then, asking for money for milk or something, some sort of commodity. And then Neil Young would always, like, come upstairs, and, like, he would always be playing guitar.
Huh.
He'd probably just, like, play with his guitar for, like, a whole evening.
Yeah, that's what I heard. Like, and he was in some pretty famous bands, too, eh? Like, Buffalo Springfield and Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. And I read somewhere that his encounter with Stephen Stills is interesting. I think it was in a bar or something, and he was playing, and then he met Stephen Stills after, and they talked. And then Still said, well, why don't you come down? And they made Buffalo Springfield. And Neil Young actually wrote Nowadays Clancy Can't Even Sing, which is a pretty good song. But it wasn't as good as Stop Trying to Make the Sound, so he didn't get as famous for that. Pretty interesting story.
You take my hand, I'll take your hand. you didn't really have a solid bass in it, or... Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What do you like about him?
He just sounds really good. Like, sort of like Nirvana and all these really good bands, they just sound... They know their music and stuff, sort of. They're willing to experiment. He's willing to experiment. He has really good lyrics.
Yeah, really good lyrics.
And...
You were telling me earlier about how his sound is, like, so full.
Yeah.
I, like, really agree with that. But, like, whenever I listen to his music, I feel like I'm just listening to his voice, and the rest is kind of, like, part of his voice. Mm-hmm. Like, even the guitar, it all, like, combines.
It has, like, a unified sound.
Yeah, it's really good that way. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes, like, in certain songs, they'll just be listening to the guitar, and it seems so easy. But then, like, you actually listen closely, and it's so complicated, but it flows so well.
Yeah.
That it sounds so, like, fluent and easy to play.
Mm-hmm. What do you... what do you like about him? That thing?
Well, kind of, yeah. And generally, just, like, I like his style of playing. Like, I mean, I like the folk, and I like his, even his, like, rock, and really... And I really like how he does unique things every time he does it. Mm-hmm. Like, when he goes out to try something, he actually does do it. And he does it good.
Like, he's been involved with, like, electronic music and stuff.
Yeah, it's really interesting about that kind of stuff. So what's your favorite song or album?
Probably my favorite album would be After the Gold Rush.
Yeah, that's a really good one.
And it has songs like Crippled with Fairy on it, and what else?
Tell Me Why, After the Gold Rush.
Yeah.
Only Love Can Break Your Heart. Till the Morning Comes, Don't Let It Bring You Down.
Yeah. All those.
Yeah. After the Gold Rush is a really good album.
Yeah. It's also a very weird song if you actually listen to the lyrics.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Very odd. Very odd guy. Yeah. But good music. Very good,
good music. Oh, if you haven't listened to Neil Young, we suggest that you do.
Definitely.
And if you don't, nothing will really happen to you. You just won't listen to Neil Young.
It would be unfortunate, but, you know.
It's okay.
You'll get on with life.
Or you might not.
You might die if you don't listen to Neil Young.
We don't know.
We have no idea, actually.
Be on my side. So...
Right, and we haven't been getting suggestions lately, so if you have any
suggestions... If you have any suggestions, email them to...
ericb@shaw.ca.
Or featheredtar@gmail.com.
Right.
FEATHEREB. No, yeah. At gmail.com.
And, we do have one, just to give you guys a head up. We do have one request. But we're still listening to it because we haven't listened to a lot of that kind of music.
Yeah.
So if you're waiting for your request, then just know that it's coming.
Yeah, your request is coming soon.
Okay.
So enjoy your life without Neil Young or with Neil Young.
And we hope that it is a life with Neil Young.
Yeah. Goodbye.
All right, see ya.
Here's an outro song, which is a remix of a recording that I took in our math class.
Okay, so getting the area. Okay, so getting the area of this part wouldn't be for the area of a triangle. A half times the base times the height. It doesn't matter what the shape of the triangle is.
Okay, whatever.
So all we have to do is figure out this other side. Okay.
What would be the height?
some of the problems that you were to do, which one? 6 and 7.
8 and 5. 3.
3 is a good number.
This one is a little simple, but
it's hard. Alright, let's have a look at it.
It's a big diagram with the half.
Oh, this one. Okay. The real estate agent.
You don't know why 3 is a good number? You just start with 1 in the frame.
Number 6. Okay, they're selling a parcel of land. But they need to calculate its area. The agent. Okay, hi. He's going to talk well.
Okay,
Mr. Hey guys, if you wanna, if you're just gonna do nothing but science in here, then you might as well not be in. Well, then you have a choice. You either do what we're doing in class, which is what you should be doing, or you can't stay in class.
Alright, we're watching. Number 6. This is good
I don't think there's really an application between Newton's laws and this right now.
Actually, this isn't Newton's law.
Alright, they're selling a parcel of land. They need to calculate the area. The agent takes the measurements that are sketched on the diagram there. And justify your answer. To get an area of this, what you would have to do first of all is somehow figure out, this is just roughly sketched what the agent has here. Okay, so like this, and then like this. Too terribly hard. Okay, they give you a radius, and you've got half a circle there, right? So if you've got half a circle there, okay, it'd be the area of a circle divided by 2. They give you the radius as 154 meters. Okay, so the radius is 154 meters. That means, okay, that what do these lines like this mean?
They're equal.
These two sides are equal.
Also.
And what would the whole side have to be?
This is a typical class.
It would have to be 308, right? Because
we do this
one of these
day after day.
Well, actually,
after
the whole circle day. Around here, this is the diameter, so this whole side's got to be 308.
This is here, it just sits up there.
And then they give you one side like this. Okay, and what we need to figure out is some sort of an angle or something to figure out the area of this triangle. Okay? That's what we do. If we could figure out the area of this triangle, then we could add, of course, the area of the semicircular part, and we could find that out. Yes, Joel?
Can
I Google?
Yes, Joel's going to the bathroom.
Right, and they do give us one angle.
Average
they say that it's 95.2.
He just made the grade.
So this angle here is 95.2. Right, so all we need to do is figure out this side, and with all the sides of a triangle, no matter what the shape of the triangle, what's the... A half times the base times the height? It doesn't matter what the shape of the triangle is.
Okay,
okay, so all we have to do is figure out this other side, okay? Oh, that's right. You'll have to figure out the height of it, which would be a little bit. Okay, so we have to figure out a height of this. And if we know that this side is 417, we actually might not have to find out the other side of this at all.
Well, if you add up the other side,
we could use Euron's formula to get the area. So we need so if we could find the height of this thing, then we could use this formula here. Or if we find the other side, then we could use Huron's formula. Either way. Okay. So how would we find out this other side? If we know this angle here, and we know the other two sides, so we can definitely do this. If we wanted to find out, let's give them names A, B, and C so that we can use our cosine law like we usually do. So if this is B, this must be little side B that we're trying to find. So we could say B squared, okay, is going to equal A squared plus C squared minus 2AC times the cosine of 95.2. Okay.
I was thinking to
A. Okay, so this means A is our
308
squared, and C is our 417 squared, and then minus those two numbers, 308 and 417, okay, and then times the cosine of 95.2. Okay, so can someone crunch those numbers for us?
280,398.
Okay. Now you take the square root of that. So, okay, now we know what this side is. 529.